Greetings, Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here. Trust that we're here because we want to worship the Lord. We want to have Him teach us this morning. This morning, I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 3. And maybe we can start by praying. Let's just pause and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we stand, we sit before you here this morning with thanksgiving. We thank you for the things that you've taught us already here through song, through your word, and we are grateful for that. And Lord, we are here now. We want to look into your word, Father, and we ask, Lord, that you would teach us. I pray, Lord, that you would, you know our hearts, you know the thoughts that we have, the things that we're facing and working through, the joys that we have, the sadness or discouragement or encouragement. You know all of those things here this morning. You know the fears that we have. And you know where we trust and where we don't. Lord, we're here because we desire to lay all those things before you. And we want you to guide us, to heal us where healing is needed, to give us courage where courage is needed. If we are caught in sin, we are here because we want you to take those things from us and to heal us in that. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would again, that you would just speak through me, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid on my heart. I pray for each one here present. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and that you would give us hearts that can receive and that we can be filled and blessed today. We just commit this time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to start by reading this chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walk sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scion, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respect of persons. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. The couple of verses here that I'd like to read before we dive into Colossians 3. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In this passage, we see, in this picture, we see two men, two houses, and one storm. And we see that one chose to take his time as he built his foundation, as he built his house, and he didn't take any shortcuts. He dealt with the things that needed to be dealt with, and it seemed like he understood the storm that was coming. And we see the outcome of that man. And we see in the other one, the person that wasn't paying attention was also building a house. Apparently, he took a lot of shortcuts, wasn't focusing on the storm that was coming. And in time, as the storm came, it was revealed how he built his house. We see that in real life as we observe buildings and equipment or vehicles, or we can see the difference of someone that understands the product that they're working with and the time that they took or didn't take. We've seen buildings that were built and they were just, there was no vision. There was only for the moment. It was going to serve the purpose for now. And cost and time was of most importance. It's like, well, we can't afford that because it's going to cost too much. And we only have this much time to build this building. And so we find ways to shave down on time. We find ways on how to save money as we build this building. And in this case here, Jesus was talking about our lives. And as we come into Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at some of those things. As we build our lives and we think of blocks, I like, as I was pondering this and thinking about this message, and I was thinking about buildings that are built with cement and cement blocks and the mortar that is used. You know, it takes a long time to build a building if you use blocks that are 8 inches wide, 16 inches long, and I think they're about 8 inches tall. And in some places, you see a lot of houses being built that way, or especially foundations. But a builder that is aware of the elements is aware of what time will do and the storms that this building is going to face, is going to be careful in the materials they use, in as they mortar in those blocks. Time, yes, they're concerned about time, but most of all, they're concerned about getting the job done right. Because they know that if they don't do it well, time will reveal their shortcuts. Time will reveal if they use weak mortar. And as the winds and the rains and the ice and the storms pass by, it's going to show. The mortar is going to start decaying and falling apart. And then these blocks are going to start falling out. And that's what happens in our lives. As we, if we take shortcuts, or we come to Christ, and in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 1 there, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3 there, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We just stop and look at that, and we think about, as we have come to Christ and we have a changed life. There's building stones and mortar that we were using prior to coming to Christ. And I believe that here in this chapter, as we go through this chapter, he's reminding us of that. He's reminding us that we do away with those things. And if we find ourselves this morning as we go through this chapter and realizing that some of these things are intertwined in my life, that there's some mortar, there's some blocks in my life that are still there. Jesus this morning wants to come alongside us and take care of that. He wants to help us remove this bad mortar in our lives and replace it with Jesus, to fill it in with the peace and strength and courage that we can find in Jesus. In Psalms chapter 127, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. The builders' labor is in vain. So this morning, we look at Matthew chapter 7, and then we come into Colossians here, and we think about that our house, our building, our lives needs to be built by Jesus. And if it's of our own doings, God wants to change that this morning. He wants to build our house. And it's complex. Our lives are complex. We think about Lego blocks, and you just start laying one block and then another. And then you come around, and then you put another layer on top of it. And then we keep doing that. And that's a little bit what our lives look like today. Some of us have three or four layers on. Some of us have, we're like way up there, and our lives are pretty much built. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8, the wise in heart accept commands. In James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In Matthew chapter 7 there, we see that Jesus divides people into two groups. Everyone is building their lives. We're building our building, our desires, thoughts, attitudes, actions, words, these things are all part of our building blocks. And over time, we see a structure that starts rising up. And it starts taking shape. In Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4 here, it talks about that. In Matthew 7 there, as we look at these two buildings that are built, sometimes with our human eyes, they look very similar. And the materials that they're built with are not immediately exposed. But as in this case, as the storms came, as life went on, we see that the one structure stood strong. And it seems like it wasn't phased. And the other one just fell apart and didn't last. In the first four verses here in Colossians chapter 3, he's reminding us that our old life is dead. You are hid in Christ. And Paul's call for us is living holy lives. It changes the things that we seek out. Going down to verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. That is in verse that was coming from the NIV. In verse 5 there, it talks about the things that shouldn't be part of our lives. Sexual expressions that is outside of marriage. And he talks about impurity and lust. Evil desires. In Matthew, we want to get some clarity there. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, shows a little bit what he's talking about. When we look at lust in Matthew 5, verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. This is just an example in our lives. The buildings can look similar, but if the one has put these things away outwardly and inwardly, and if we fail to do that, and we're building on sand in these areas, when the storm comes, be aware. Your sin will find you out. Because those things that are in our heart, that are hidden in our heart, those things that we think and we desire, eventually they manifest themselves. Eventually we find ourselves, oh, what am I doing? And it's like those things that are in our heart will finally find their way out. And then in verse 8 here, we walk through uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. And he reminds us here in verse 5 that these things are idolatry. And then going down to verse 8, now he's digging even deeper, saying, but now ye also put off all these. Paul is addressing things that are our feelings, our anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. He's saying to put these things out of our mouths. We are to, God wants to deal with those things in our lives. If we find ourselves angry and we're dealing with wrath, we need to come to Jesus and help him. Allow him to show us where these things are coming from. Why am I feeling this way? And ask him to change our hearts and to change our thoughts. Verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. As believers, in King James, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We're acknowledging here that we are a changed people. And he's reminding us here, lie not one to another. We should be speaking truth. Grace should be coming from our lips, from our mouth. Verse 10 and 11. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, scion, bond nor free, But Christ is all in all. What he's saying here, I believe, is that we are a new people, and these different titles don't hold a lot of water, but rather it is our life in Christ. And that because of this, because we are new in Christ, that it should change who we are. Ephesians, I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Going down to verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Being transformed into the image of our God. Going down to verse 12 in Colossians 3. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Just stop there, and let's just take those things in. These are the fruits of the work that Christ is doing in me. These are the works that he wants to... These are some of the ways that he wants to reveal himself through you. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Not only are we kind, not only do we say the right things, but that humbleness of mind, that's a thought. It's something, how do you explain that? An attitude that I have about myself. An attitude that I have in the midst of people. How I betray myself. Because we can't deny the way when we look at that humbleness of mind and we process the way that I process my life, the way that I view myself, the way that I think about myself or about situations, it will show itself. We will bear fruit of that. Verse 13. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In the NIV, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against anyone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So, working through things, we have, it just gives us a heart, instructions of working through these things and remembering that Christ forgave us as we came to him. And as somebody comes to us, we also need to forgive and experience God's peace. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Verse 16. Verse 15 there. The peace of God rule in your hearts. It's when we think of rule, God, when the peace of God rule in your hearts, it's used to being there. Its presence is used to being part of my heart. And maybe there's, some of these other things, war at wanting to come in and take over. But what I see here is that God, the peace of God, rule in your hearts. We're used to experiencing that, and I was encouraged by that. Verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So we here were reminded that teaching and admonishing, we're to encourage, to disciple one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We, as we do verse 16, and I think he's saying that should be coming from a heart that is grateful, that has gratitude. And as we teach, as we admonish, as we sing songs, and we do that with gratitude, I think that's something that needs to be part of our lives. And if we can do that and have gratitude in our hearts, it speaks to myself, it speaks to others. These are all expressions that should be coming out of our lives. In the beginning of the chapter here, he was dealing with things that need to be dead, things that were part of our other life. But being new creatures in Christ, make sure that these things are not part of our lives. And then verse 8, he brought it down a notch or two, but said, also, put off all of these. And he was talking about anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Those are things that he wants to change in our lives. If they're still there, Jesus wants to take those things away. And he's saying that we need to recognize that. But then in the middle of the chapter there, he talks about the things that should be coming out of our lives. And let's analyze our hearts and lives and see if those things are so. And then going into verse 18 and to the end of the chapter, and we see here he's talking to, I think, all of us and the responsibilities that we have. And I think we've had some teaching on some of this here recently. But verse 18 there, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And then verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. In whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respect of persons. As we ponder these things as he speaks to us in our different roles, our different responsibilities that we have. And verse 23, I think, is the heart of the matter, is that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And we've all seen scenarios in life where we see people making a decision. And they look around themselves and they say, oh, I know I'm supposed to do this. But the person that really cares about this, right now he's not paying attention. He's not looking. And so they decide to do something else. And if that's where our heart is, as we think about these things, it will show. Our lives will reveal ourselves. So may we consider these things and see, we come back to verse 1 there. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. We go back to Matthew 7 and we think about building blocks and the complexity of our lives, and we see these blocks and we see our lives, and if we see things that, oh yeah, this is still bothering me, these things are hurting me, Jesus doesn't want to leave it that way. He wants to help us. We've probably all seen people, construction workers that have taken a house that there was foundation issues, and they carve out those issues out of that building that are a problem, that are going to keep that building from being successful in what it was intended for. And these builders they'll spend days and days tearing these things out. And it's a painful process. And as they go through this, the building looks even worse. But if you pay attention, if you stick around long enough, you see them replacing those bad blocks, that bad material, and they start replacing it with good material. And that building's life starts changing. It starts having value. And in the end, people look on. It's like, I want to live there. I want to be part of that building. And the person that had given up on that building comes back and says, that's me. I want to be part of that. That's what Jesus wants to do in our lives as we consider these things and we find areas that we don't want to be part of. We don't want them to be part of our lives. The good news this morning is God wants to take those things away. He wants to carve those things out and replace them with something that has value and that is worth. And so let's give those things to the Lord and be the people that God wants us to be. May God bless you as we consider these things and apply those things to our own lives.